kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I got a title for us today to talk about on faith, and we're calling this A Faith That Will Not Be Denied. A Faith That Will Not Be Denied. We do see illustrations in the Bible of those who are very persistent with their faith. They're going to receive of the Lord. I'm reminded of the woman with the issue of blood. There, amongst all the crowd of people and everything, she was determined to touch the hem of his garment. She was not going to be denied. And God is also working that faith with us as well. And in many ways, it means to humble yourself, to not take second best, to be determined that God has promised, and I will receive for his glory. God loves that sort of faith. He really does. And the reason I raise this is because we have a very important scripture in the book of Luke, which you know well, in chapter 18, Luke 18 and verse 8. And he says this, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, he speaks of that because we have to go back a few verses to understand why he's saying that. Because we all know the story of the parable of the persistent widow who knocks on the judge's door and keeps knocking and knocking. And in the end, we know the story, I will answer this woman's request because she tires me, you know. And the Lord's giving that analogy here with this judge. And in many ways, he's showing us how much more with him, if we continue to persist, confess and hold on and thank God that we have received in Jesus' name, Mark 11:23, and God will answer. And then, of course, he comes up with this verse after this in verse 8, and I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Who? The ones who are persistent, who will not be denied. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he find those who will continue to believe? Or will they just go off to sleep? Will they just, it's not God's will, and I'll look to something else? This is really the attitude of many people. Many do not have a persistent faith. And this is the problem. And the wise virgins, for that extra oil in their vessel, contains a persistent faith, as we see in verse 8 of Luke 18. It is a persistent faith. It is an enduring faith. It is one that will not give up. I will not be denied. That is what he's saying here. And then all of this leads in the context of what our Lord is preaching and teaching here, He then goes on and teaches about the rich young ruler. And then he goes on to preach about those who have wealth. And he says how difficult it would be for them to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't say it's impossible, but he's all the while bringing up various things that we face, various people in the world, and he's showing, in light of this persistent faith, believing, not giving up, he's showing how things of the world can fight against a persistent faith that will continue to knock. And one of the things, of course, he's saying, well, if you've got much wealth and riches, you won't need to do much knocking or whatever it is, because you're not really that desperate. You can pay for everything. You can pay for your medical care. You can pay for your insurances. You can pay for all those things that most of us, God wants us to believe and trust the Lord in. And we see a glimpse of this in verse 27. But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And he clearly shows in this whole chapter, in many ways, the hindrances, the problems of why it is that there isn't this faith. And Jesus says, when he comes, will he find a people believing? Will they really have faith on the earth? Or is there faith in the arm of the flesh? And it ends with a question mark. That's what it ends with. And we can begin to see why the Lord addresses these things in our lives, as he has done over the years. Because he's looking for those who are believing, who are trusting, who are standing upon these promises, believing, not giving up, not taking second best. And their faith, in a sense, is like this persistent widow. It's knocking all the time. It's pressing in. You see, the obstacles of life fight against our belief. And in many ways, he's raising this up. He's showing the obstacles that are in life that will fight against our faith. But it won't be a problem to those wise virgins who are paying the cost. And what is the cost? It is the oil of anointing. And what is the oil of anointing? It's getting under that anointing. In other words, under the banner of Almighty God himself and ministry that he ordains and places in order to get that extra oil in the vessel. This is what he's doing, you see. And so we are, in many ways, through the teachings that we have week after week, they work within us this persistence, this keep knocking, this keep pressing in and believing, even though it seems as though the judge won't open the door. It seems as though he's not listening. And I know he's in there, but he just won't open it. And of course, there's the analogy of a judge of the world, of the flesh. But God is giving a contrast that he isn't like that worldly judge. He is the judge. He is the judge of the world. But he will hear. He will hear the prayer of faith. He will answer your prayer to those who hold on, who press in, who will not be denied, just like the woman with the issue of blood. And we know for 12 years she sought healing and went to the arm of the flesh, paid a lot of money. No good, nothing. Nothing changes. It's the same today, even with man's technology that he boasts in. It's God who is in control. It's God who has made our bodies fearfully and wonderfully in his image. And he looks after us and provides for us if we meet the conditions. And that is doing it his way, yielding over, not resisting him, and allowing the Spirit to work his healing hand and deliverance in and through us. This is why a lot of us are receiving healing and deliverance in this walk as we stay with it, as we yield to the Spirit. We in time find that God has done a miracle. He's done a healing in me, or he's healed my body. I don't know how this happened or when it happened, but he did. And I know a lot of you have expressed that to me. I myself, exactly the same. Can't always say when, but it's what he's promised in his word. It's a faith that will not be denied. And I'm convinced that God is using now this shaking on the earth, the heavens and the earth, and this shaking, which of course I've shared many times, which is exposing the powers of darkness, exposing the enemy, but it's also shaking us. It's shaking the house of God, because judgment begins first in the house of God. So there's a negative and a positive aspect of this shaking. Let's turn to it, shall we, in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verses 25, 29. Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. And it's talking about hearing this heavenly voice that's speaking from heaven. And of course, he uses the contrast of Israel under Moses, how Moses taught them, and how the glory of God came upon Mount Sinai. And that Israel heard the thunder, heard the voice of Almighty God. We're listening in contrast now to that in verse 25 almost. See then that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but the heavens. So it's not just the earth that's been shaken up till now. And we know the earth was shaken. We know that God allowed a flood to cover the earth. We know that God fired down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, and God judged. We know that God judged the nation of Israel, and then they fled to the four corners of the earth. And now after 2,000 years, they're returning. That was judgment again. We've seen where God has judged, but it's always on the earth. But what is the difference here? With the judging that's starting, he says once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And there is the difference, brothers and sisters. And this is why this is awesome. This shaking now is not only with earth, but it's the heavens when you look up above you and all the stars, the sun, the moon, everything. You take a look at this one evening on a clear night and look at it, and you ask yourself, this is being shaken and will be shaken also. We know it. We read it in the book of Revelation. And that is the difference. And this is why it is awesome. And that we are to stand to continue pressing in by faith, because it's those by faith will not be shaken by this. And people are becoming fearful. We are seeing so much now that is manifesting through this shaking that has started. We're seeing the financial systems being shaken. The banking systems are being shaken. They are all predicting that there's going to be another collapse shortly, which of course they will use this to bring in the digital currencies. But God's allowing this. It's the shaking that's doing it. People's health is getting worse. We're hearing horrendous testimonies and stories of people who have taken these vaccines and these boosters and the side effects. I know some of them personally. I had a phone call from my cousin the weekend who said to me, well, they had a good go at me when I told them I wasn't taking the vaccine. Both of them had a good go at me. And I thought, just leave it. Lord knows he's in control. Well, listen to this. My cousin rang me the weekend because I'd seen them a couple of weeks before, and they rang me to find out if I was okay. And my cousin said, I have been very ill with COVID. She said, this is the third time I've had it. My sister also, which of course is my cousin, she's down with it. I think she had to have the doctors in. They've had all the boosters. They've had everything. And my cousin boasted and said, I'm going to have whatever's going. Whatever vaccine, whatever booster, I'm there. I'll queue up for it. And you know what she said to me? She said, I'm not having any more of this. Enough. I thought, praise God, Lord has answered my prayers for them. Because I've been praying that God would move in their life, speak to them, open their eyes, as well as I pray for their salvation. You have to stay with it. Don't be denied. Stay with it for your family, your loved ones, who you hold up before the Lord. Continue pressing in. Don't be denied. They will be there. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't take second best. Don't listen to the devil's lies. And as I say so often, when you start praying for them, it appears they get worse. And this is what's happening. God is allowing now the heavens and the earth now to shake. And this shaking is eventually going to expose Satan himself. And the only way that he can, because he's becoming cornered, will manifest himself and come as the Antichrist, the false prophet, and to deceive for a season. But why is that happening? It's because God is shaking the heavens and the earth. Why the heavens? Because that's where the demonic activities are. That's where powers, principalities, that's where they reside. So that needs shaking. And indeed, he's doing it. Can you begin to see now, brothers and sisters, what is happening that is taking place? I am at present facing all of this now on Instagram. What God is doing there with what I'm sharing now is getting people's attention, is exposing some ministers who've been ministering wrongly and not doctrinally right. The Lord is opening up that I can help them and correct them in the scriptures. a lot of them are beginning to see now it's making sense, because God has got a remnant around the world. And he said that my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. It's all a big thing at the moment of the white horseman that's gone forth. That's the latest one. Well, I've heard it before. And I'm now having to correct all of that. The four horsemen, they haven't gone forth yet in Revelation 6, because the church has not been caught away yet. We still see the seven churches, and they are types that we have today. In each of those churches, they are the faults that are around in Christendom. When we come to chapter 4, you no longer see the churches. They're not mentioned. Why? Because a remnant out of each of them, the Philadelphian church, is now in heaven, in the throne room, where the Lord is. The elders and the angels and all the creatures. Read it again, chapters 4, 5 and 6. And they're all looking and wondering, who is worthy to open this book, the seal? And they cast their crowns down. You are worthy, Lord. You are the overcomer. You are the one that has triumphed over death and sin. You are the judge now of the earth. And this is what goes on there. And then when he pronounces, he opens, then you come to Revelation 6, and then you see the first one that goes forth is the white horse. It hasn't happened yet. And you've got people who are preaching and teaching that it has. These are some of the things I'm facing. And I value your prayers, intercessions for this, that God will give me the words, the wisdom to help them. I've already had a brother this morning. He's texted me a huge text, said thanking me. He said, I've always felt that and seen that. You see, there is such confusion out there. And we don't know these things. I don't know any of these things unless God shows me. I don't know anything. But that's how Jesus walked. That is how the early church walked, because they believe God is our revelation. He teaches us. He will show us, because flesh and blood can't receive this. And bless their hearts, these people who are placing themselves as prophets and apostles and whatever. It's in the carnal. They're trying in the carnal, in the flesh, to understand these things. And as I pointed out, Revelation 12 is always the missing link of understanding the book of Revelation. Most get it wrong. And it's no good relying on your commentaries. Some of them are trying to make the book of Revelation applicable to Israel. It's for Israel. It isn't. It's letters to seven Gentile churches. The revelation, the book of Revelation, is the revelation to the body of Christ. Yes, it may have Gentile and Jew and whatever. And of course it does have. But it is revelation to the body of Christ. And if you don't understand Revelation 12, you've got a missing link there. And this is where these things start going wrong. So, of course, I've been sharing the man-child. And, of course, it's caused repercussions. Because you get other preachers, you see, are preaching each day. And so you get sort of certain comments, oh, there's a lot going on at the moment about the rapture. We don't need to look too much to that. Get back and just look to the Lord and make sure your life is right and you're walking with God. That's the sort of thing you get. Stopping God's people from going on and realizing that there is the meat of the word. but that is nothing to the Lord. You're going to get that, but a remnant will hear. Because God has placed within the remnant that they will not be denied. This is the vision that was revealed, the pressing in beyond the veil. A vision was given many, 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 many years back. I know I've shared it, but for those who don't know of it, a white sheet was revealed. And then suddenly a hand started to appear. Then the shape of a body. And then another one appeared, and another one, and you couldn't count how many. And then you began to see the impressions of faces pushing in, and they were pushing beyond this veil, desperate. Well, it speaks to me exactly what it says about the kingdom of God, how they take the kingdom by force. We actually, it means violent. They're desperate for it. And they are the ones who will receive. There is so much complacency in the world today. We're comfortable. What need do we really have of all of this? And that is exactly what our Lord is bringing up back in Luke 18. And so this is why God makes your life at times uncomfortable. Or he starts to remove things that you're relying upon so that you trust him. But actually what he's doing is making us desperate because he's heard your prayers. You don't want to take second best. You don't want to substitute. So he says, right, okay, I'll train you for that. So these things shouldn't take us by surprise. And it's interesting in chapter 18 that he's speaking about the last days. And also he's speaking of the fact of persecution that is on the rise. And it is on the rise. And we're going to see more and more persecution. And we never think that this, of course, will ever happen in the West. But it's happening and it will happen more and more. And it takes the grace of God to stand in these days. And it's going to take the grace of God when the woman who is left, that gave birth to the man-child, where she is a victim to the Antichrist, who is going to make war against her. And let's be quite clear what will happen, particularly in the Great Tribulation, when he reveals himself as the false Messiah. He is going to attack any religion that is monotheistic. That means one God. Well, obviously, that's the Christian. I believe he's going to attack the harlot, which is Rome, denominationalism. He will attack that. And I believe also he will attack Islam as well. He's going to remove anything that represents a monotheistic God. And it will be a bloodbath. And nobody wants to be around in that time. But this is what we're speaking about back in Hebrews 12, this shaking. God is going to allow it to be shaken. This shaking actually is to purge and cleanse the house of God. And then Israel, God's people, the remnant, they too will be shaken. And a remnant left will be preserved who will go through to populate in the millennium. Now, why all of this is going on, brothers and sisters? We are up in the throne room of God. In many ways, in chapters 4 and 5, that throne room is actually a room of judgment. He's actually a judge, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's judging the world in righteousness. And this is why he judges us now, so that we don't come under the great judgment. This is why he chastens us, corrects us, delivers us, does what he does with us, because all of this is preserving us from the great tribulation that is to come. And that is why we're being prepared for the next great event that's to happen in the Christian church, which is the snatching away, the catching away to be with the Lord in the clouds with him forever. That is the next great event. Brothers and sisters, set your eyes, your heart, your faith, your determination, every fibre of you, set your heart on that. And if it is your heart's desire, God will be faithful. He will answer that and he will preserve you and keep you. And we know the analogy in the Philadelphian church. It has their little, they're weak, there's not a lot of them, but that is the church that is commendable, and he says that is the church that will be protected from the judgment on the whole of the earth. Read it again if you are not sure. The last judgment over the whole of the earth was the flood. And the great tribulation will be judgment over the whole of the earth. And of course, these judgments that are leashed, open, these seals, they are supernatural in their application. They're not man-made. You see, at the moment, governments, scientists, they're all trying to explain this shaking. They can only look at it scientifically. And so it's global warming and all these things that go on, and they're trying to bring in all this carbon fees and taxes and everything. And that's all we hear at the moment, failing to understand, to see it spiritually. It's God shaking. You see, this is why, you know, when we hear these stories and there's a lot of videos and various things that are all around media, it's full of it, you know, that governments are taxing us to the hilt, and we're hearing all about it. We're hearing what's going on in London, how they're taxing and so on. It's because they don't understand. They don't see it spiritually what is happening. And it seems as though every day there is something new or something that comes up, you know, and you think, where does all this stuff come from? Or new policies or new laws or new breakthroughs in science or technology and so on. It seems endless. Absolutely endless. I mean, the latest one now, your mind just boggles. They're working on now where you won't have to take an mRNA vaccine anymore. You would be able to just sniff it in. And they've got the technology now, they're working on it, and they think that they can release it. They can release it in rooms, in halls and various things where people can just be breathing this in. It just, you think to yourself, where does this all come from? This is all so satanic and so on. It's coming because God is shaking the powers of darkness. Everything that's been covered behind closed doors is all now coming out. These evil inventions is all coming out, being exposed. So we shouldn't be surprised. And all of this is to get us, as I've said, to press in, to keep us in prayer, in the Word, to keep with it. And this shaking is moving any hindrance that's in our life. And a lot of the hindrance is still at times we don't believe as we should be. And our actions prove it. And so this shaking is the mercy of God in many ways. To bring a remnant to himself. To get these wise virgins ready. Because the bride's coming soon. That's what they're for, the virgins. That extra vessel of oil, when the rest of the virgins' oil, what goes out, the foolish, is to pave the way. That oil feeds light. And what is that light? It is the light, the revelation in God's word. And when their lights start going out, we continue having that revelation, that insight, until the Lord comes for us. That's what this oil is for. It's the oil of anointing, oil of preparation. We are so blessed. I don't think we fully appreciate what God is doing and how he's preparing us. You couldn't work this out in a million years. But God knows what he's doing. And that's why we keep with it. We won't be denied. We're like that persistent widow. We're going to continue believing, confessing these promises. Because I can tell you, a lot of Christendom today, they're not very hot on the promises of God. They're there, but they don't see them as something they can believe and confess and receive. They're losing all sight of all of that. But God won't let that happen with us and others who are going on now in these last days. But it's removing all these hindrances, brothers and sisters. And that's why we keep before this righteous judge. Our righteous judge against this worldly judge with this persistent widow. Our righteous judge is a judge of grace, love and mercy. You don't get that out of that judge that Jesus speaks of in the parable there. But you do our judge. He's a judge who forgives us, has forgiven our sins, our shortcomings. And we've missed it a mile off at times. He's a judge with promises. He's a judge that has given us the Comforter, baptized us in the Holy Spirit to help us. That is what this judge is about. And when you read Revelation 4, 5 and 6, you read there, you'll see that judge, the anointed one, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the one that sits at the right hand of the Father, supplicating, the one who has triumphed over death and sin. There he is, the righteous judge. It's awesome. And that's why the word of God says, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. But have a faith that will not be denied. Whatever is happening, however you feel, whatever the devil's saying, whatever it looks like, it's irrelevant to the promises of Jesus. Hold on to them. Make it your confession. Have a good confession over your family, your loved ones, your marriage, all those things that is so important. Have a good confession. Keep your confession lining up with God's word. It is that important. It is all a sign that I will not be denied. Father, thank you for your word. It's awesome. It's admonition. It's encouragement. It's help. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you are revealing to us, Lord, in these last days. And we are so mightily privileged. And Lord, I pray that you will keep us persistent. We will not be denied. We will not take a substitute. But we will hold on to your word, these promises, and we will make them our confession until we receive possession. And so I pray you'll bless, preserve, and keep my brothers and sisters till we assemble again. For this we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.